This weekend, the Wall Street Journal ran a story entitled "No Showers, No Sleep. Van Life Isn't As Cool as Instagram Makes It Seem." And based on that title, I would suggest that if you were going to do a podcast or a video about the content in the story, you would entitle it "Unhappy Van Lifers Doing It Wrong." And I'm going to tell you why that might be the title for this podcast, but it might not be an accurate description of the story. But it's a great opportunity and an endpoint to talk about the state of nomad life on the road in podcast 1133, the Bob Davis Podcasts. I just finished the Summer Sounds podcast, so I know that the upper tier is still sort of encased in what can only be described as winter, but that's actually spring up north. And so when it finally warms up, and it will, once you get some sun and things dry out, you're going to look out at your garden, if you have one, and you're going to be, oh God, you know, it needs to be cleaned up. There's a lot of physical work associated with it. Maybe you don't like doing that anymore, but you still like a garden. Also, people are starting to plant vegetable gardens due to the high price of food. If you need help, and it could be any kind of help, maybe just prepping the garden or all the way up full on designing it, Garden Gurus MN can help you. They sponsor this podcast, so thank you. Check them out online at gardengurusmn.com. Hashtag van life is probably the most famous hashtag in Instagram, you know, at least as it pertains to travel. Van life kind of pushed nomad life, or really, you know, came before nomad life. I'm not sure how powerful the hashtag nomad life really is. There's RV life, there's boat life, there's all these life hashtags where people post pictures of their adventures in what appears to be an idyllic experience, where you're in beautiful forests and having a wonderful time in your van that is beautifully appointed and looks like a New York City apartment, or your 80-foot catamaran sailing across the ocean, or whatever your life hashtag is. Seldom is YouTube or Instagram or any kind of social media the be-all and end-all of life, as witnessed by where I am currently. You can hear the cacophony of where I am right now, which is a Walmart in Georgetown, South Carolina, which is about, I suppose it's about 60, 50 miles south of Myrtle Beach. And if you listen to the Summer Sound podcast, you know that this cacophony is completely different from the zen of hearing summer sounds or a babbling brook or the seashore. And just in the last week, I've had all of that. I have had the bubbling brook, I have had the seashore, and sometimes it really has been sublime. And I do this for the experience, and I'm going to expand on that later in the podcast, because I think it's actually really important. I'm not going to read the story, but it's the typical, what it is, oh gee, if you go on Instagram and you see all these pictures of people in vans, life isn't like that, and it's kind of a lie. And I did a podcast about this probably 2 years ago, for sure, maybe even three, but let's just say it was 2 years ago. And I said, who expects anything on social media to be what it's supposed to look like or be like? It's a social media construct, especially Instagram. We try to post the most beautiful pictures we can get. I don't hardly ever post pictures of the inside of my truck. I do videos from inside my truck. It is hardly a show place, in the sense that it's a 24-year-old vehicle, and it's still an ambulance. People come up to me all the time and say, I'll bet you got it all tricked out in there. And I'm like, why would I do that? and I often rail about people who buy ambulances and rip all the ambulance stuff out and build an RV. Why wouldn't you just buy an RV? You know, I keep it an ambulance because there are systems that I use in this truck that are part of the ambulance, and I don't want to disturb them. People think I'm crazy, but that's what I do. I don't tell any lies about the state of the vehicle. It's clean. It runs very well. It serves my need. Over the years, it has taken me a lot of hard-won lessons to learn the things that I need to have to be comfortable. And I'm still working on that. I'm also working on what the next rig is going to be and why and all those other things. You often are in places like this Walmart parking lot. Now, some Walmart parking lots are very nice. They're very quiet. This is an industrial part. There's a big steel mill and a big paper mill in this town. And it is not, it's not a place where you're going to have a sort of a wonderful sleep, because it's a busy industrial place. Shift work, people going to Walmart all the time. And as you can hear them driving around with the beat boxes and the trucks and the cars and lots of noise, it gets a little crazy. It's nice to be able to stay in a Walmart parking lot without feeling like you're going to get the knock on the door at 3 o'clock in the morning. But at the same time, this is what we deal with. We deal with things as they are, not as we want them to be. So if there are people that do this for a couple of years and then complain about it, it's because they haven't been doing it long enough. Now, I do want to point out in that story, none of those people say that. The girl, the first person, and I say girl because she's very young, she bought this Transit Connect van. They made it sound like it was this huge van. Well, the Transit Connect is not a huge van, but anyway, she thought the idea of touring the country in a big box van or whatever it is would be great. And she got out west and her transmission blew up and it cost her $5,000 to put a new transmission in. It cost me $8,000. So if you have a bus or a more robust vehicle, those kinds of problems are going to cost you a lot more, not just $5,000. Now, this woman was a waitress, and so she's been struggling to work to get the money again up after spending all of her savings on the $5,000 transmission. But all of the people, one guy had a box van, another guy had a van, and it's always about the equipment. I don't necessarily want to get into the details of the equipment because the equipment really doesn't matter. Some people have vans, some people have old RVs, some people have box trucks, some people have ambulances, some people have school buses, and on and on. It's the act of going out. And the essence of what I want to say in this podcast is it's really about rejecting a certain type of life. And when I say reject, I don't want to make it sound bitter. It's not about being bitter. I appreciate people who have lives back in the world, as we like to say. And I've often said this, who raise their kids and they work a job and they do what they do. And some of them really enjoy their life. Others struggle, just like in van life. The thing about this is many of us, and I will speak for the group because it's, you know, I know a lot of people doing this now, and the general consensus is that if you went out in the last 3 or 4 years, you were making a decision about, one, not being told you couldn't leave your house, not being told you had to wear a mask, not being told you had to get vaccinated, not being told what you were going to do and when you were going to do it and how you were going to do it. And we certainly were not going to pay $3,000 or $4,000 a month for rent once the effect of all that free money took hold and we started to get inflation. The rent prices have gone crazy. The housing prices have gone crazy. And this has caused people to start look for alternative lifestyles. People have started to move in together. People have moved back with their parents. People have gone on the road. But I refuse. I absolutely will not take a job that doesn't pay me enough money and I'm stuck paying rent, in other words, house poor or mortgage poor, rent poor, because I think the prices for rent are ridiculously high. I hate to quote certain political figures who talk about greed, but I will say this. When you look at food in particular, the prices are much, the profit margins have gone up along with the prices. And so the only conclusion that you can draw from that with a lot of these companies, especially now with consolidation in the grocery industry, is they jacked their prices up because they could and they're making more money. And this is also true of real estate, and it's also true wherever there is demand for a certain product. The only way that this is going to get fixed is if people just simply refuse to participate. Somebody asked me a question about something the other day that had to do with another issue, and I'm not going to get into what the issue was. They said, how do you deal with this? The only way to deal with it is not to participate. The only way to win is not to play. It seems counterintuitive. So those of us who are plying the roads in vans or whatever, we save thousands of dollars a month on rent. But we put our vehicles under stress and they have to be repaired, and that costs money. And so in that sense, we do expose ourselves to inflation, depending on what the extent of the mechanical problem is. And I've talked about some of those in my podcasts. What I did is I took the total cost of what I had done this year, dating back to getting the oil manifold replaced, doing a bunch of other stuff, buying tires, putting solar on the roof, buying a power station and a refrigerator and a bunch of other stuff, and then prorated it, and it comes out to around $400 a month, roughly. $400 to $500, depending on when you have a very expensive repair. It's somewhere around $500 a month. As opposed to $2,500 or $3,000 or $3,500 a month for rent, or even more, to own a house. And keep in mind, if you do own a house, then if you have a problem with the roof, you got to replace the roof. Well, that's $20,000 to $50,000. That's not a transmission, right? And you still have to keep your cars up, and you still have to pay for groceries, and you still have to put your kids through school, and you still have to buy them equipment for hockey and dance line and other stuff. So you still have these costs. If you reject that lifestyle, and I mean reject meaning reject the entire cloth, the whole cloth, the human cost of doing that is hard to do when you're 30, when you're 40, when you're 50, when you're married, if you have kids. My kid has grown. I'm no longer married. People in the story in the Wall Street Journal complained about dating. They complained about not being able to take a shower. They complained about being hard and finding it's hard to find places to sleep. And, you know, truck stops scared the woman. Well, those are all true. You know, you have to get used to maybe not being able to have a shower, you know, because if you want a shower at the Loves or the Flying J or wherever you go to take a shower, it's going to be $18, $20 now. And so there again, you're exposing yourself to inflation. But you don't have the total expenses of running a household. And if you can be able to be strong enough to not let the dating issues bother you, not let the sleeping issues bother you, because from time to time you're going to get the knock at 1 o'clock in the morning and they're going to say, and they're not going to be nice about it, you can't sleep here. One of the things that we have often talked about in our discussions when we all get together is the proclivity that van lifers in particular seem to have to want to camp in places that they really aren't wanted. And that's like, oh, if they go to some place that has a cute antique store, they'll say, hey, I'm a van lifer, can I sleep in your parking lot tonight? And the person may say yes, but then at 1 o'clock in the morning, the police are knocking on your door and they're asking you, why are you here? And sometimes it's just really hard to find a place to go. I posted a video of a Cracker Barrel parking lot the other night in South Carolina, down by the beaches. Cracker Barrel is one of those places that allows people to stay in their parking lots. Now, not all of them do, because some local municipalities have laws that say you can't do that. The reason they have those laws, I am told, is that the local campgrounds and resorts and whatnot have lobbied their local governments to pass these ordinances so that people are forced then to go to the campground. Well, I'm not going to pay $75 to $100 to go into a campground at dusk, park next to a bunch of other people, and then stay there and get up and leave in the morning. That to me is ridiculous, and I just won't do it. So I have got to the point where I have become very strategic about where I'm going to stay, and I plot my trip based on where the places to stay for free, which is a parking lot like this one, the Walmart, all night. And, you know, it doesn't matter when you get up. Cracker Barrel doesn't care if you sit there until noon the next day. So if you saw this parking lot, if you saw my YouTube channel and saw this parking lot, you would see there were 25 RVs in a Cracker Barrel parking lot. Now, Walmart parking lot is big enough to accommodate 25 RVs with no problem, but a Cracker Barrel lot, most of them are not that big. And it was crazy. It was literally an RV takeover of the Cracker Barrel. And I hope we all went in and bought something, because we want to say thank you to Cracker Barrel for allowing us to do that when they are allowed to do it. And I appreciate businesses that do that. If it isn't Cracker Barrel, it is a truck stop. Flying J, Pilot, Loves, any place that will let people stay. And here again, they all don't necessarily let you stay. There are an increasingly larger number of people camping in their cars. They don't even have enough money to get a van, so they're camping in their cars. And you see them in Walmarts, and you see them in a lot of truck stops. And I worry about that, especially younger people. You got to get used to the privations if you want the experiences. And I'm going to talk about that in the second half of this podcast. You know, I want to get this out of the way real quick. I don't have the time or the list of names, but a number of people have been making contributions to the Bob Davis podcast. You know, $25, $5, $10, whatever. And some people have made very large contributions, and I really, really appreciate it, because one of the big problems with quote-unquote van life or nomad life, we still don't have the infrastructure available for people doing this to be able to really earn money and do a job. So it's not always easy to get money. I produce content, YouTube, podcasts. I sell advertising to potential clients, and also increasingly rely on the contributions of people who listen to these podcasts, and it definitely makes a huge difference. Go to the Bob Davis podcast, look for the donate window. If you're on a phone, it's at the bottom of everything, and it's a yellow donate button. You click on it, takes you to PayPal, and you can give me whatever you want. You can also do an ongoing contribution of whatever you want, $5 or $10 or $20 or $100 or whatever. And I really appreciate those. So every now and then I do a long list and I thank people, and I will do that for you as well if you make a donation to the Bob Davis Podcast at thebobdavispodcast.com. Okay. So I want to make a final point about this, because here's the thing. Most of these media organizations that haven't done this story, which is unhappy van lifers talk about how difficult it is, and gee, it's really hard, and I didn't think it was going to be this because I looked at the pictures on Instagram. In other words, the storyline is, look at these great pictures on Instagram and look at the reality. Well, you're an idiot if you think anything on social media is real. I mean, you're silly. We know that that's not true. we've known that's not true. Most of us, most of our lives, we've known that that's not true. So if you believe anything on social media, and I mean anything, you're a fool. So unless you know somebody is definitely, authentically telling you about their personal experience, and they're not sugarcoating it, which is what I'm doing, then you can't believe the hype, so to speak. It's a nice thought. But why does a person travel? And I'm going to close with this idea, because I think this is really the key to this thing. Aside from economic concerns, a guy put his card on my window this morning, and I got to grab this because I want to give this guy a shout out. And I left it up in the front, so I just climbed over the refrigerator to get to the cockpit and get this thing out here. I just want people to hear what this guy said. And it's dark in here, so I have to use one of my red lights. He said, cool ambulance, cool podcast, thank you. Full-time van lifer here. Economics forced my situation. All the best, Jason Doc Weaver. He's a Doc Weave Weaver. He's a musician, and he gave me his card. So look for Doc. He's out there somewhere. And he's in a minivan, I think. I'm pretty sure that was him. And that's an example of why people choose this. But the longer you do it, you discover something. I mean, I think it's, you could say it's a spiritual thing. You could say it's discovering your own resilience. You could say it's discovering what your passion really is for. You could say that it has to do with sorting out the things that, you know, were hard. My first year of travel, I was shocked to look back at my first year of travel and see how much angst that I was working through in the first year of travel. Years and years and years of swallowing my pride or having outbursts or any of those things came up, and it took me a year of travel to just kind of work that stuff out. After a while, you find that the travel stuff, the day-to-day, gets a lot easier. I don't use freeways, and I am amazed at how easily it is for me now to navigate without too much difficulty. When I first started, I was fully committed to using back roads, but it was real hard, and I was often frustrated and backing up and turning around and hitting things, you know, poles and stuff, because I was all upset. And now I just roll along, and I navigate on the fly, and some of my navigations have turned out so great that it just blows my mind. So why does one travel? Because travel in itself is very educational. And I mean, there's not enough time in this podcast to talk about all the difficulties. Obviously, they did mention the price of fuel in the story. And one of the things that I wanted to do when I first started traveling, and I've been doing this for 10 years and full-time for, this is the fourth year. So it's not like this is a new thing. I just can't get enough of rolling. I have gone, in this particular trip, I have gone from Quartzsite, Arizona, all the way across the Redneck Riviera, down the west coast of Florida, up through the Everglades, up the east coast of Florida, all through the Georgia Outer Islands, and now in South Carolina. And when it's all over, I will end up in Wisconsin, and I will have been traveling for probably 60 days. Very slowly, taking my time. Today, I probably traveled 60 miles. Because I keep stopping to look at a town or keep stopping. And finally I decided, you know, it's 3 o'clock. I'm just going to hang out here in the Walmart parking lot. I'm good. You get to the point where you're really good at it. And then you start to have these experiences. And they are sublime. whether you're sitting on a beach or you, I mean, to me, they are little things I see. I got to see a launch of a rocket at Cocoa Beach, one of the big rockets that SpaceX put up. Now, this thing took off and it went right up into the clouds. It was nothing special. But if I think about that, it's like a dream. You know, a rocket going off into the clouds, you know, this, the rumble, people at the beach, you know, the mountains, some roads are amazing and you're the only car on the road. These little experiences, some little town that I went to, I had barbecue the other night at some little town on the beach in South Carolina. It was fabulous. So you have these experiences. Sometimes it involves talking to people, meeting people. Sometimes it's just something that you do. You start to have these experiences, and they are wonderful. And they make it worth, all of it worth. In addition, and I think this is really, really important, nobody mentioned this, really. First of all the people interviewed for this story, is four or five people, maybe it was four, they all said they're not going to stop doing it, which I thought was great. Because the layers gets really deep. You're seeing the country, and you're seeing a country that doesn't exist. Just as much as the van life thing is an illusion in social media, so is quote-unquote news coverage of issues in America. It's nonsense. Most of the time, what I see traveling, and this has been true for 10 years, is not what I would talk about if I was doing talk radio, or what I would talk about or report on if I was doing news in New York, because they have a particular view of how the world works and what the world is, but they don't see it every day. I do. I see all kinds of people doing all kinds of things in all kinds of situations. And I see dark things, but I also see some pretty incredible things as well. Just as an observer, I'm not saying I'm involved in any of this stuff. It's just little things that I see, little kindnesses that people extend to people that they don't know. Just people saying hello in stores, or the way they treat each other. These are the experiences that I have. I wouldn't trade these experiences. I wouldn't trade being able to go to my niece's wedding and my nephew's wedding as well in New Hampshire last fall. I wouldn't trade any of that for a job and an apartment back in the world. Wouldn't do it. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care if you can't shower. I don't care if they knock on your door at 3 o'clock in the morning and tell you you have to move. I don't care if the miles roll by and miles roll by and you got to replace your tires or your transmission or do this or do that. I don't care. This experience of seeing this great country from all different angles, all the lower, I've been crisscrossed across the lower 48 many, many, many times. And I've seen all kinds of things. And finally, I'll just say this also. I met a guy who had a Dodge ProMaster white van, who was 76, you know, looked like he was 56, who had built his van himself, and it was beautiful. He was so, and this is what happens after years and years of doing this. He was so well organized. He had his tools completely organized, clean. All the stuff inside the vehicle was clean. He opened up the back and showed me where he kept all the different things. His little broom, his little rake, his, the thing he puts over the fire to cook on, blah, 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 blah. It was, and it's because he's been doing it so long. He had a tarp for the overhang when he pulls into a state park. And what his deal is, he will go to a state park and just sit for months because that's how he does it. And he has his tarp and he has his equipment and he has his supplies, and he, once a week, he'll go in and take his van in and get his supplies. But most of the time, he is just rooted, and his organization was incredible. Well, yeah, you do this for 20 years, you're going to be well organized. So I would just say to the people that are new and that are struggling, you will struggle the first 2-3 years, and maybe even the fourth year, you will struggle at times to ask yourself why you're doing it. But we are the vanguard of maybe something new in this society. I'm not quite sure what. We have the technical know-how, and we have the tools, and we're getting better and better tools. So life isn't always going to be this hard to travel. Better rigs, better tools, better capabilities, and you learn so much doing this that as you apply the lessons day after day, month after month, year after year, it gets much, much easier. Thanks again to 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated refueling station in South Minneapolis, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast all these months. Lonnie, who owns the business, all the guys, they have put together some stuff on Instagram that is amazing. If you get the chance, visit 36 Lynn at, it's at 36 Lynn at Instagram. If you're in Minneapolis, swing by, get yourself some fuel, and visit the store with all of the locally sourced stuff. It really does feel like a community in there. And thanks again for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Unhappy van lifers doing it wrong. Well, I'm not so sure they're doing it wrong. I think, I would say you really can't make any mistakes. Yes, you can, but it's usually nothing you can't come back from. Sometimes it costs more, and sometimes it's difficult. But if you stay with it, it gets easier. And thanks for listening to Podcast 1133. I'm a little tired. I've been literally traveling now for 40 days. So you get a little wacky, and you get a little tired, but it's a good time. Thanks for listening to Podcast 1133, the Bob Davis Podcasts.